Then I'll come to order and then the meeting.
The roll shows 18 presidents in your stacker.
Roll shows Senator Sackett, Senator Ferguson, approved. Served by the chapter of Maryland Middle School. My request prepared this morning is for Bob Shaw, who's undergoing surgery and extensive operation in Seattle. Let us pray. Lord, our prayer this morning calls us once more to seek your healing presence close to a friend of the Senate, Bob Shaw. Guide and direct those who are ministering to him, doctors and nurses, the full surgical team. Thanks, Lord, for hearing us and for being close to Bob. And bring about among us whatever healings may help us to rejoice in the fullness of life that you have given to us. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
We certify as to the chapters of the journal, the 51st legislative day.
President, I move unanimous consent that the journal be approved and read.
Senator Tulla has moved unanimous consent to certification of the journal without objection to journal certified. Introduction of guest, Senator Tulla.
President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce students and teachers from the Mattoon School System, Mr. Rocky Goodwin, and with him are Alan Morgan, Steve Everhart, Arthur Johnson. Mr. President, further, I see in the gallery the president of our school board and the superintendent, Mr. Rady Priest, and Mr. Norm Rousey.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, I have one of my constituents, Kurt Green.
Further introduction of guest, Senator Rody.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce Mrs. Pike Plankoff, who's here on behalf of the National Association of Social Workers.
Further introduction of guest. Message from the governor.
Message of March 11, dear Mr. President, I've signed the following resolution and transmitting the enrolled and gross copies to Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House committee substitute for Senate joint resolution 6 amended House. I have no further messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
March 11, the House has passed the following resolution and bill. Senate concurrent resolution 9, Senate bill 58 has been sent for enrollment. The House has passed the following. House joint resolution number 14 by Representatives Buckhold, Ballin, Bowman, Bradner, Brown, Cotton, Cupper, Davis, Duncan, Green, Edith, Kelly, Malone, Miller, Martin, Oscar, Dakar, Smith, and Specky relating to the excursion airfare of Alaska Airlines.
Power.
House Bill 90 by Representative Parr entitled an act revealing statutory references to adultery and fornication.
Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the House.
Senator Chen.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, you have the floor.
We have in the far gallery the Executive Director of the Office of Child Advocacy, Ms. Betsy McGuire from Anchorage.
Communication.
I have no communication.
Report sustaining committee.
The majority of the Senate State Affairs Committee, after holding a confirmation hearing with Ron Henry, recommends that he be confirmed as a member of the Personnel Board. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurring by Senators Huber, Halland, Nealon, and Miller. Affairs Committee, after holding a confirmation hearing with Don Harris, recommends that he be confirmed as Commissioner of Public Works. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Huber, Miletto, Nealon, and Dillon.
Senator Huber? Senator Stanby? Further reports of standing committee?
A majority of Senate State Affairs Committee, after holding a confirmation hearing with Walter Parker, recommends that he be confirmed as Commissioner of Highways. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred by Senators Huber, Miletto, Nealon, and Dillon. Dear Mr. President, as directed, the Senate Commerce Committee has held public hearings on the confirmation of Mr. Donald C. Schreier to the Real Estate Commission. The committee finds nothing objectionable and recommends confirmation of Mr. Schreier to the Real Estate Commission. The report was signed by Senator Petillo, Chairman, concurred by Senators Willis, Coletta, Alcini, and Davis. Dear Mr. President, as per your request, the Senate Commerce Committee held a public hearing of the confirmation of Mr. Langhorne Tony Motley for Commissioner of Commerce. The committee finds nothing objectionable and unanimously urges the confirmation of Mr. Motley as Commissioner of Commerce. It was signed by Senator Petillo, Chairman, concurred by Senators Willis, Coletta, Orsini, and Ziegler. A majority of the Senate State Affairs Committee, after holding a confirmation hearing with Andrew Warwick, recommends that he be confirmed as Commissioner of Administration. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred by Senators Coletta, Nealon, and Miller. Senator Huber signed not concurring. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has had Senate Bill 207 relating to the requirements for runoff elections and municipal elections under consideration. The majority of the committee recommends to do pass. The report was signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring by Senators Willis, Bradley, and Ferguson. Senator Tillian had no recommendation. 207 has no further approval.
Rule.
The Judiciary Committee has had Senate Bill 23, Violent Crimes Compensation Board, under consideration, and the committee, majority of the committee, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring by Senators Mielen and Miller. Senator Tillian had no recommendation. 23 has no further referrals.
Rule.
The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 171, terminating the Alaska State Mortgage Association under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, concurring by Senators Rossini, Ziegler, Coletta, and Willis. 171 has a further referral to finance. The Commerce Committee has had Senate Joint Resolution 21 relating to the Alaska Office of the Crop Reporting Service under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, and concurred by Senators Willis, Coletta, and Orsini. This report was signed without recommendation. SJR 21 has no further referrals.
That's CROP, C-R-O-P. Reports of special committees. Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution 24 by Senator Bradley relating to spouses exemption from Federal Hatch Act.
Judiciary.
That's the only resolution.
Introduction, first reading, reference to Senate Bill.
Senate Bill 256 by Senator Gillian entitled an act relating to driver's license reexamination.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill 257 by Senator Ziegler by request entitled an act relating to officers and employees of a municipal fire department.
Judiciary, and I'd ask the Judiciary Chairman to consider whether the bill needs to be referred.
Yes, sir.
Senate Bill 258 by the Judiciary Committee by request entitled an act relating to the qualifications of acting district judges and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill 259 by Senators Orsini and Kroc entitled an act relating to zoning in state game refuges.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Those are all the bills.
Bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. We have before some second reading, Senate Bill number 59.
Senate Bill number 59 by Senator Ray entitled an act relating to the publishing of the names of juveniles for certain offenses and amending Rule 26, Supreme Court Rules of Children's Procedure. The Judiciary Committee has had this bill under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Chilian and Senator Meehan signed recommended be replaced to committee substitute. Senators Ziegler, Colin, and Miller have no recommendation.
Senator Ziegler?
I move the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Senator Ziegler, move the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator.
I think the best way to tackle this problem, Mr. President, is to tell you what the existing state of the law is, what the original bill would purport to do, and what the committee substitute before us will do if we adopt it. And I think I'm going to recommend its adoption. First of all, under the law as it is today, a court has the authority, the discretionary authority, to release the name of a juvenile offender who commits a crime which had it been committed by an adult would be tantamount to a felony. Senator Ray's original bill, the original Senate Bill 59, would have taken away that discretionary authority from the court and made it mandatory upon the court to release the name of a juvenile offender falling within this category when it would have been two felonies, which had they been committed by an adult would have been sanctioned. There was objection to that because we felt that to divest the court of its authority and to give the authority to the news media would perhaps not work in the best interest of juvenile justice. And I might add, before I tell you what the current bill would do, is that when we talk about in the legislation a newspaper, radio, or television station, I don't think that was the original sponsor's intent. He can clarify that if he cares to do it. The talks that he and I have had personally, he wants the name made public, and that's what the committee substitute says. And by that, we don't mean issuing news releases to the various media. But we want to make it abundantly clear that a property owner whose property has been vandalized by juvenile offenders can go to the court and say, well, look, who did this, so that I can get to his parents and seek restitution for some of the damages I've sustained, which is currently found in the part of our code. This committee substitute, and I might say that the sponsor and I have worked on it, and I think he favors the committee substitute. We say now that the court still retains a degree of discretion. That is to say that if a juvenile commits two offenses of the type we've been talking about, the court shall release the name, or make the name public is a better way of saying it, unless the court, in his discretion, in certain individual cases, says, well, I decide it's not the interest of juvenile justice, and particularly the best interest of justice insofar as this particular juvenile is concerned, not to make public this information. I haven't worked for or against the bill. I certainly have spent a lot of time on it, so I would ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute bill before you.
Senator Ziegler has moved and asked unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there objection? Objection. The committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 59 by the Judiciary Committee entitled an act relating to the publication of the names of juveniles for certain offenses and changing Rule 26 of the of Children's Procedure. I have no amendments.
Senator Wright?
Was that third reading?
No. Senator Petillo?
President, there are no further amendments. I move asking now some consent committee substitute for Senate Bill 59 be considered engrossed, passed third reading, and placed in final passage.
Senator Tillis has moved and asked unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 59 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill number 59.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 59 entitled an act relating to the publication of the names of juveniles for certain offenses and changing Rule 26, Supreme Court Rules of Children's Procedure.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, I'm not going to dwell on this anyway whatsoever. I think it's been fully explored by public hearings, by individuals, and I would just appear everyone to vote their comments.
Questions or
Further discussion? You ready to vote?
Question.
Question is, Bill number 59, pass the Senate. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change their vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas, no nays.
And the effective date, Congressman? Mr. President, before us is a change in the court rules. I move and ask unanimous consent with the vote on the bill to consider the change in the court rules.
Senator Tiller's moved and asked unanimous consent to vote on final passage of the bill be considered the vote as to section 2 changing the court rules. Without objection, it is so ordered, and Senate Bill number 59, changing Rule 26 out of the Supreme Court Rules of Children's Procedure, passes. That was first and second reading, Senate Bill number 248.
Senate Bill number 248 by the State Affairs Committee entitled An Act Establishing the Alaska Growth Policy Council. The State Affairs Committee has had this bill under consideration, and the committee recommends it to pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and supported by Senators Miller, Huber, Coletta, and Nita.
The President's absence of any amendments, I will ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 248 be considered in gross advance third reading place final passage.
Senator Tiller moved and asked unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 248 be advanced from second to third reading place before you on the final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill number 248.
Senate Bill number 248 entitled An Act Establishing the Alaska Growth Policy Council.
Senator Wright.
Mr. President, there is no fiscal note attached to this bill for the simple reason that we could not figure out how many meetings the members would have or such. We can guesstimate that the cost would be approximately between $10,000 and $15,000
anyway. Mr. Secretary,
could the Secretary read again the letter that created this bill? Senator Frank Ferguson, Chairman of the Senate State Affairs Committee, and Terry Miller, Member President, I have just one question then. Has the Legislative Affairs Agency or the State Affairs Agency ever investigated all of the other existing advisory boards as to the statutes that created them, or whether or not any of those were created without executive, without legislation?
Senator Byrd?
Mr. President, the State Affairs Committee has not requested this. I'll take the advisement and hopefully we can have them check it together.
The only reason, Mr. President, for asking this question is that we do have a large volume of advisory boards, many of which were created by statute. Others, I don't know. For example, the Rural Affairs Commission, I don't know if that came out of the governor's office by way of an executive order, whether or not we created it by way of law. I think it should be investigated. If we're going to set a policy with regard to Executive Order 26 and the jurisdiction, we should set it for all existing bodies and not necessarily just for the council.
Senator Wright?
Well, Mr. President, I would agree with my colleague, Denali. I don't think this is an advisory group. This, as I read it, it says the Alaska Rules Policy Council, not an advisory board.
Senator Ferguson?
Mr. President?
Mr. President, the issue that we're addressing is not an executive order, but an administrative order in the 26th.
Mr. Sackett?
If you look at the duties of this council, it might not be called advisory, but it's, in terms of duties, it's absolutely advisory.
Further discussion? Senator Petula?
Is this a growth question, Mr. President, not necessarily to the State Affairs Committee, perhaps some representative of the administration on the floor? What does the bill do? What value is it? Is this a non-growth approach? The governor of Oregon suggested that nobody should come to Oregon to settle, and of course he immediately had a tremendous influx of people into the state. I'm not sure that this won't result partially the same situation occurring. In any event, I hope that we have a comment on why this thing's needed. What's that about?
Senator Kay?
If you want to know why the bill is needed, it isn't. It's one of those things that I'm sure every governor that faces an opposition legislature and needs a little harassment from them gets. The bill is no more than a harassment. The legislature has already spoken on the issue, and it's the Alaska Planning and Research Division, which is the one Mr. Wheaton is now in, was formed by Section 4419-871. But if you'll get into 4419-880, you'll see all the duties that they have, which are advisory in nature, to the governor. And on the last section, it says the governor may establish coordinating or advisory planning groups, and lays it out quite plainly that he has the authority to further elucidate on the $100 honorarium that's caused so much flack. That was a copy of the Federal State Land Use Planning Committee Commission. And for the edification of this body, the members of the present Growth Council have notified the Lieutenant Governor that they are not taking the honorarium and do not wish it. As far as the legislature controlling that, the easiest way to make sure that they don't take it at a later date if you don't wish them to is to leave it out of the budget. For while the governor could use contingency funds for this period till July 1, he couldn't in any way call this an emergency after July 1 when the legislature had met, and therefore if it was left out in the budget, it could not be used at a later date. I personally consider the bill pretty well one of harassment. The governor has all the statutory powers necessary to form it, as long as it is strictly advisory. And if you read the bill, you'll see that in no way are they quasi-judicial.
It's all well and good, President. I'm a bit curious what the Growth Council does, whether it comes by statute, whether it comes from executive order, is immaterial to me. But I think it's a reasonable question for this body. What in fact, indeed, is it presumed, what is its directive? What is its direction? That's the question. I noticed here it says that individuals reflect a wide range of viewpoints. Well, I never saw a group that represented a wider range of viewpoints in the present cabinet. Perhaps they ought to be the members of the Growth Council.
I wouldn't even argue that, sir. What I would point out is the Growth Council was designed to go along as an advisory group to the planning functions on such things as how you protect the 4% of Alaska's agricultural land from subdivision, how you go about facing the impact of outer continental shelf oil and controlling where it would come ashore. I certainly hope we will pass a Coastal Zone Management Act before we're done, but this is an advisory group that can give advice on how it will be done. It's not one that is supposed to go like Governor McCall attempted to stifle growth. I would be perfectly happy to do so myself, but it's unrealistic to even consider that you can, and the best you can do is approach the growth that we're going to have in a manner that will do the least harm to our way of life, bring the maximum raise in the standard of living of those that are already here, and face some of the problems instead of reacting to them after they've already landed on.
Mr. President,
Mr. President, I think perhaps Senator Tiggin does his colleagues a disservice when he says that the bill is an attempt at harassment. And quite to the contrary, it's an attempt to cooperate with the executive in the creation of an agency which they apparently feel is necessary. And if you note the legislation before the Senate today, is an exact verbatim of Administrative Order 26, absent the $100 a day compensation, which many members of the Senate State Affairs Committee at least found onerous, and now we're told by Senator Tiggin, so did the members of the Growth Council. Mr. President, I don't quarrel with Section C, which permits the governor to establish coordinating or advisory planning groups. What I quarrel with was it was done by administrative order rather than by executive order. And the key difference is an executive order is subject to review by this legislature, as was, for example, Executive Order 37, which the governor subsequently withdrew. If we don't draw the line here, I can see where you could get a whole parade of administrative orders from all different courts of governors, which cannot be reached by the legislature because they're not in the statute anyplace. They can't be amended. They can't be changed in any fashion. In fact, Mr. President, the only way to get the $100 out by force of law was to reenact the board as a statute. And I suggest to you that going the route of denying funds is a very clumsy one and probably is inappropriate in that if a governor wanted to, he could still use a contingency money. I think it's very important, Mr. President, that particularly with the strong executive that Alaska has, the strong executive system, that the legislature be very careful of its prerogatives and of the constitutional requirements. That's the sole purpose of this legislation. I was one of the primary movers behind it in state affairs, and I can assure Senator Tiggin that my motives were not one of harassment. If they were, the legislation wouldn't be here in 3 calendar days. This is the first bill that has been signed out of a committee before it was even introduced. It was done on the same day by the Senate Secretary. We're absolutely trying to cooperate in every way possible. We simply want it done right.
Senator Tate.
Mr. President, the only failure in this is the fact that the legislature already created the authorization for this board. If they do not wish it to say that this is an administrative order and it's not subject to our actions is wrong. If we wish to remove that, we can address ourselves directly to the statute and remove the power of advisory boards from 44-19-880. There isn't any problem there. We can reach it. And what I'm saying here is it is a matter of harassment. Now, if you're worried about the legal ramifications, then I would like to move and ask unanimous consent at this time that Senate Bill 248 be referred to the Judiciary Committee to look into that.
Senator Tillian moved and asked unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 248 be referred to the Judiciary Committee. There has been objection.
Well, Senator Priscilla? Well, Mr. President, it's tradition for the Senate, so far as I can interpret them, and they never cut off debate until every bit of debate is passed. I think Senator Tillian's motion is a disservice to this body. I just don't understand the motion being presented until all debate on the subject is completed. It's an error.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, we have an opinion from the Legislative Affairs Agency, which is, of course, one of the things that sponsors the legislation. I serve on the Judiciary Committee, and if the chairman of the committee indicates on the floor here today he wants it, I'll withdraw my objection. Otherwise, I'm going to treat it as a dilatory motion and oppose it. Parliamentary inquiry is chairman. If he has a view on it, I'll certainly withdraw my objection.
I don't solicit the bill through Senator Burrow through the chair, but on the other hand, I would certainly have no objections to receiving it and doing my chores if a majority of the body wants me to do that.
Senator North?
In that case, Mr. President, I still oppose the motion.
Senator Julian?
I consider in no way as this is one that would cut off debate. You can still debate a bill that's had a motion made on it in that way. If Senator Petula really wishes to debate it further on issues that don't pertain to why it should be sent to judiciary, I'm perfectly willing to withdraw that, but I believe that the whole debate on the subject is open when you argue why it should or should not be sent to judiciary. And I just feel that with an opinion from the Legislative Affairs saying one thing and an opinion from the Attorney General in answer to the Legislative Affairs opinion that says very plainly how it was established, under what statute it was established, and goes into it in quite a bit of detail and considers Senate Bill 248 completely unnecessary. With these conflicting reports, I can think of no better way than to send it to judiciary.
Point of information. Is the chair ruling that the whole subject matter is still open to debate, regardless of merits of just debating and sending to judiciary?
Your point of order was well taken. The matter before us now is whether the bill shall be referred to the judiciary committee.
That should be. That was my opinion. That would be before us. Thank you.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I can't make up my mind whether it should be sent to judiciary or not. Perhaps I could help the resolve the question in the mind of the majority leader, but also in my mind as to exactly what this group council does. And I asked a high-ranking Republican, and he said, well, it's something to give Junior, the Lieutenant Governor, something to do. if it's harassing to give him something to do, then I guess we're all harassing
him.
Yes, Mr. President, I can move and ask unanimous consent that we recess 10 minutes for the purpose of the Republican caucus.
Senator Galetta has moved and asked unanimous consent to stand in recess until 11 o'clock for the purpose of a Republican caucus. Without objection. Still come to order. Further discussion? Senator Petula?
Mr. President, it's been cited here that perhaps in the past administrative order has accomplish something of the same nature as this seeks to accomplish, or that is the previous administrative order that we are now debating by a legislative act. And the answer is, of course, that it was an error then and it's an error now. Indeed, that is the fact. I, for one, oppose administrative order. I think we have 90 days here, or 100 days in which to review a year-round administration's attitudes I think we ought to be on record, this legislature ought to be on record. This is one of the methods of setting that we are going to review agency orders, we're going to review the administrative regulations proposed, and we're going to review orders. And this is a method of doing so. I'm not opposed to legislation, but I'm opposed to the order, and this is the only way I can see about getting to the heart of the case.
Further discussion on the question of referral to the Judiciary Committee. Senator Kaye.
The very reason that we're having this debate, to me, is reason to send it to Judiciary. There seems to be differences of opinion on what is legal and what is not legal. What I am doing is not arguing whether the governor should be able to, out of hand, form advisory boards. To me, this is not the issue here. The issue here is that when we passed 4419880, we gave him the authority to form this particular advisory group. It says, to quote, the governor may establish coordinating or advisory planning groups. It's right in the statute. And to now come in with something like this is, I consider, nothing more than just harassment. On the other hand, if you think there is a valid judicial complaint, why, you send it to Judiciary and find out whether there is indeed a conflict. If there is a conflict in the statutes, then I'm just as fussy about the Constitution as anybody else. If he's overstepped his authority, I'm sure the good chairman of Judiciary will point it out to this body. If he has not, leave it alone.
Senator Wright.
Well, Mr. President, this is very fine, and I congratulate my colleague here for pointing all this good stuff out to us. Same time, I think the problem is in his mind, right? It's not in our mind. There's no doubt in our mind, at least I would hazard the guess of the majority of the people sitting here, that that has no judicial conversations. And that's the reason we're all here. Let's find out just by the way we do, so I would call for the question.
Senator Collette.
Yes, Mr. President, I have some doubts in my mind, and I signed due pass in state affairs. But I wasn't aware of the Attorney General's opinion on this matter. We only had the one from Legislative Affairs. And I think that in itself should warrant the referral to Judiciary. Now we have two conflicting, or two opposite reports on what the authority was.
Mr. President.
Judging from recent Attorney General's decisions, I think I would rely on the Legislative Affairs attorneys.
Mr. President, appears to be two questions, and it has nothing to do with the content of this bill. I asked a question to the Senate Resources Committee as to whether or not they had viewed the executive orders and the administrative orders that had come down in previous years to see if we could perhaps expand the same concept in terms of other existing bodies and advisory councils. I think that's an extremely important decision that we should make, that if we're going to draw the line here, then perhaps we must draw the line in other areas. Since the decision came from the Senate Resources Committee, there are two opinions as to whether or not this specific council should be created. One from the Legislative Affairs Agency that says that the governor probably does not have the power under administrative order. There's another opinion which comes from the Attorney General that says that he does. Not one of us here in this body have had a chance to review and to look at either one of those opinions because they are so new and so recent. I have not seen either one of them. And I think it's extremely important to this body to not pass on legislation without reviewing in committee, looking at the specific intent and the contents of both of those opinions and make a determination. We can't do it in this body while we're sitting here talking. That's why I think and strongly urge that we send it to the Judiciary Committee and we give it to Senator Ziegler to review and come back with an opinion from that committee as to whether or not, in fact, this council should be created, or whether, in fact, perhaps the governor does have the power under administrative rules existing.
Senator Wright?
Oh, Mr. President, that's very fine, and I don't think it has any merit or any standing with what we're doing here. If we want to send anything to the judiciary, let's send the Attorney General's opinion to the judiciary and make the, let them make a comment on that. We're going to pass this bill because the governor wants it. He's already appointed these people. They're out there sitting. He's paid them $100 a day. Now they want to give back the money because they didn't think it was right. We're going to make it valid that they will be something according to law and not administrative order. And that's why we're going to pass the bill. Send the Attorney General's opinion to the judiciary. Send it to each and every one of us. That's fine. But let's get on with the business we are supposed to do here. So we've had people sitting up there in the finance. Lieutenant Governor of the state has been sitting up there since 11 o'clock while we fumble around down here. Why don't we do him the second credit, pass this so he'll have something else to do, and let us get on with what we're supposed to do.
Mr. President.
Senator Zagan.
Some of us perhaps might be interested in finding out constitutionally in passing, before we pass on legislation, whether it's constitutional or not. I am one person that has that desire.
Senator Butcherbit.
Mr. President, before the question is put, I would like to add that I also am one who would like to have that opinion from the Judiciary Committee and Senate. And I don't see the reason for the great haste when we have issues, I'm sure, in committee, even in the Rules Committee, that are much more important than this is. And I don't believe that the fate of the state is going to suffer whether we vote on final passage of this measure today or whether we do, in fact, have this bill returned to the Judiciary Committee for review. I can very well recall sitting right in this same seat here when a member of your party was sitting in the chair as you are now, and in addressing the Senate, he said, the governor of the state of Alaska can get any kind of an opinion he wants from the Attorney General. You know, so this isn't anything new. It isn't anything new. It's, I see nothing wrong with counting to 10. I really don't see any reason for all this haste. And I'm sure that if this bill is returned to the Judiciary Committee, Senator Ziegler will review it and review both the Attorney General's opinion and the opinions and the opinion of our attorneys and come up with an answer that then we can vote sensibly on.
Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, I said I didn't solicit the bill originally. That is true, I don't, but I would reiterate my willingness to take it. I won't stall it around. I would do whatever I have to do as rapidly as possible. And we'll get the AG's people in and the legislative affairs people in and let them have at it. And hopefully we'll be able to bring it back reasonably soon. Also, Senator Petrovich has pointed out, and I have heard nobody contradicting, there is really no showing that we are in a critical stage insofar as time is concerned. I might feel differently if they had to have this today, but if you wait till next week, let's concede or honor the minority's wishes. I think both of their points are probably taken.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, is it my understanding now that the judiciary chairman is requesting the bill? I'm sorry, Senator Ziegler, I don't want to labor you.
Well, I'm not really requesting it. I'm just saying that I used to be come see, come saw, not a little bit more come saw, and I will take it.
Senator Cattell?
President, I oppose the motion by Senator Taylor on the subject. No one really wants it. Why don't we just make the decision here, up or down? And I'm in opposition to his motion, and I think we should at this time vote on it.
Question is, shall Senate Bill number 248 be referred to the Judiciary Committee? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say
no.
Noes have it. Senate Bill 248 is not referred to the Judiciary Committee. Further, Senator Tillian?
Mr. President, I move we rescind our action in not sending it to Judiciary and request a roll call vote.
Senator Tillian has moved that the Senate rescind its action and not sending Senate Bill 248 to the Judiciary Committee. Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 248 and all motions thereto be held in this state bill.
Senator Miller has moved that Senate Bill 248 and all motions pertaining to Senate Bill 248 be held in legislative day. Senator Ziegler?
I ask unanimous consent.
Senator Ziegler asks unanimous consent.
Object. We have a meeting.
Senator Ray,
Mr. President, I see the battle lines forming here. I just want to explain that I consider myself still a free agent on the referral motion, although I do favor the legislation. I just suspect that maybe it's one of those times when a 24-hour cooling off period to allow the members to look at the opinions and the like may serve the best interest of the Senate and the state. That's the reason I made the motion.
Senator Cadillo?
President, I move recess to call the chair for purpose of Democratic caucus.
Who is the unanimous consent to stand in recess, call the chair for purpose of Democratic caucus? Without objection. Senator, come to order. Further discussion?
Question
is, shall Senate Bill 248 and all motions pertaining thereto be held one legislative day? Any in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Noes have it. Senate Bill 248 is still before us. Question now is, shall the Senate rescind its action, failing to send Senate Bill 248 to the Judiciary Committee? There further discussion?
Mr.
Senator Buttigieg?
I'd like a roll call on this, please.
All right. There are sufficient hands. There will be a roll call. The question is, shall Senate rescind its action in failing to send Senate Bill 248 to the Judiciary Committee? Members may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 6 yeas, 14 nays.
So the Senate has not failed to rescind its action in failing to send Senate Bill 248 to the Judiciary Committee. Further motion?
Question.
Senator Buttigieg?
Yes, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 248 be held over till Friday and ask for a roll call vote on the motion.
Senator Buttigieg has moved that Senate Bill 248 be held in the calendar on third reading until Friday.
Yes, sir.
Further discussion? Is a roll call vote desired?
Yes, sir.
There are sufficient hands for a roll call vote. Are you ready to vote? Members may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change the vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Since we are forced to decide exactly how we're going to vote on this bill, I would request that the Secretary read both the opinions from the Attorney General and also from our own staff, the Legislative Affairs Agency.
Secretary does not have the opinion. Suggest that if the members desire the opinion, it would be more appropriate to have Xerox copies.
Mr. President, I just feel very strongly that before I have to decide on voting this, that I have the opportunity to read both of these opinions to decide for myself whether or not I have to decide one way or another in voting.
Senator Sackett, your request was that the Secretary read it.
Yes, whichever way is most convenient. If they can Xerox them off and paste them on our desk, I would like to have that opportunity to read them.
The Secretary does not have it, so it's not possible for her to either read or Xerox.
Mr. President, I would move an answer to the Senate's recent ideas for a few minutes.
Senator, come to order. Further discussion? Mr. Nicolau?
Mr. President, move an action unanimous consent to the resets for approximately 15 minutes for a Republican caucus.
Senator Collette has moved and asked unanimous consent to the Senate stand in recess for 15 minutes for the purpose of the Republican caucus. Senator Ray, you object?
I don't object, but I wonder if I can speak to Terry, Senator Miller. Does it have any significance or this?
Mr. President, I presume they're from the Attorney General's office. They're not from me.
I can't read it.
Senate recess until 25 until 1 for the purpose of Republican caucus.
It's a firm kind of order.
You always got the time.
Further discussion? Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I know the hour is late and I don't wish to belabor it, but I think, particularly after all the parliamentary skirmishing, the main point ought not be lost. Still, my position that the State Affairs Committee report is valid and accurate and the legislation ought to be passed.
Further discussion? Senator Sackett?
Mr. President, I just wanted to make one statement. I had been accused of perhaps being dilatory, and to the body I apologize. That was the impression. After having been denied the opportunity to review this in committee, I felt that perhaps we might have the opportunity to look and to decide as to whether or not, in fact, the governor was correct in what he did, or in fact, the State Affairs was correct. After looking at the two memorandums and after having talked to the more learned colleagues in the legal profession within our body, they have indicated that it would take a couple of days by which to really hash it out. And since we don't have that opportunity, I have no further questions. I would move with this.
Further discussion? Senator Petula?
Mr. President, I don't think any member of this body thought that Senator Sackett was being guilty. He's just exercising his right.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill 248 pass the Senate? Senator Miller?
Mr. President,
I'm Secretary of Lockerill. These senators are to change his vote. Secretary of Lockerill. Senate Bill 248 has passed the Senate. That concludes the daily calendar. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, in order to give my learned colleagues a little additional time, I would notice my reconsideration of Senate Bill 248.
Senator Ray's notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 248 will be noted in the journal. Unfinished business? Special orders? Announcement of committee meeting? Senator Holman?
Mr. President, Senate Hess, 130, Senate Bill 188, mentally retarded persons, Senate Bill 50, year-round school program, Senate Bill 176, exempting those people 65 or older from the school tax.
Senator Rader?
Senate Rules Committee at 2 o'clock for hearings on General McCrassen. It will be in the House conference room. President Hall.
Further announcement of committee meeting, Senator Wright.
For those members of the Finance Committee who are not members of the Rules Committee, we'll start at 1:30 in the room upstairs.
Senator Buttrevich.
Mr. President, through the chair, would the chairman of the Finance Committee consider a little later starting time so that we may have an opportunity to go downtown to have lunch?
Senator Wright.
Well, I would certainly accord my colleague in that courtesy. Even though I couldn't afford him another one earlier today, I will afford that courtesy and we'll move it to 2 o'clock.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Zinger?
The free conference committee consisting of Senators Rohde, myself, and Senator Buttrevich will try to meet tomorrow morning at 1:15, committee 1:05. Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 on this miscellaneous bills.
That's moving right ahead, but could that be it tomorrow afternoon at 1:15?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Senator. Senator.
Mr. President, Labor Management, Thursday, 9 a.m., Senate Bills 211, 212, first round of hearings on that matter. Senate State Affairs Committee meeting today at 3 p.m., Senate Bill 60, 206, 208, 243 in the old library. Resources at 1:30, Senate Bill 215, confirmation hearings on Guy Martin for Commissioner of Natural Resources at 2:30. And Commerce, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, depending on Senate Bill 5.
Further announcement of committee meeting? Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, if there's no further action for this body, I move and ask unanimous consent that we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Curtula, move and ask unanimous consent to adjourn until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection, adjourn.